Amen.
So I was in Miami last week for the Archdiocese Convention. A lot of you probably know that. But before I was in Miami, I was at Antiochian Village. That's our campgrounds and conference center in western Pennsylvania. And I got to tell you, I'm refreshed from the experience. If you ever need a booster or some kind of renewal of your faith, your commitment to God, why are we here? Why do we do this? A little retreat at the Antiochian Village does wonders. It's a beautiful place. It's out in the middle of nowhere, but it's filled with voices that sing praise to God. Saints are buried there. There's church, services, worship, and it's all done in perfect unity. So I wanted to tell you that the first time I was at the village, it was summer of 2000, and I'd spent the whole summer there on staff. And I thought to myself, here I am in 2017, and I'm here for a week. You know, it's interesting because the children that were born in 2000 are now the oldest campers at the village. So 17 years. A whole generation in camp years has passed, and here I am. And what did I notice? What did I observe? Is it any different? I noticed that it's better. After 17 years, there's more. It's richer, it's tighter, it's fuller, and everybody has a really good idea of why they're there and what they're doing. So while we were there, glory to God, we prayed Trisagion prayers in memory of His Eminence, Metropolitan Philip. He's the founder of that camp. He's the one who had the vision 40 plus years ago to buy a piece of property in the middle of western Pennsylvania. And I'm sure he was met with a lot of what? Camp? Trees? What? You know, what does that have to do with church? But I'm not telling anything you don't already know, probably. The Antiochian Village and the other camps work, and they're feeding our children the faith in a way that nothing else is able to do for some reason. It's really, really working. So I'm remembering a now famous conversation that His Eminence Metropolitan Philip of thrice blessed memory had with the Archimandrite John Namy. Father John was a big Texan, single, no children, and Metropolitan Philip appointed him to be the camp director. And Father John said, well, I don't know nothing about camp, and I don't know nothing about children, you know. And His Eminence told him, you will learn, Father John. You will learn. Father John's vision for the camp, when he was given that role, has molded and formed and created what we have today, which is 300 plus children, 35 staff members, 16 volunteers, all kinds of helpers and donors and benefactors supporting the program. And the children are fed their faith in a beautiful, wonderful, uncluttered environment. Like I said, it works like nothing else in the church works. Glory to God. So I remember His Eminence Metropolitan Philip, of course, in my prayers, and Father John Namy for taking that vision and going with it. You know, I don't know nothing about camp. I don't know nothing about children. But he's willing to learn. I bet you Father John felt a little bit like the disciples in today's gospel. Out there in the wilderness, people have been following Jesus, listening closely to his teachings. It's getting late. You know, what are we going to do? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. It's time to go home. So the disciples tell Jesus, let's have these people go home, right? They have to buy food for themselves. And what does Jesus tell them? They don't have to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. You. Where are we going to get food in the wilderness? You know, that's the question. And in Mark's version of this gospel, the disciples even talk about the cost. Where are we going to find bread out here, first of all? 200 denarii worth to feed all these people. So Jesus says, you're going to feed them, and this is how you're going to do it. Bring me what you have. So 5,000 men plus women and children, they bring 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now here's the important part. This is the message I want to give to you today, beloved in Christ. This is how we serve God. This is how, when we don't know what to do, and we feel like, why did God ask this of me, and I can't do it, and the cost is this, and there's none of this, and I don't know how, this is what we do. Jesus took what they offered, and he lifted it up, and he gave thanks. First of all, we have to be thankful and offer it to God. Whatever role you're given, give it to God. And he'll make sure that it gets done. If not, if it's not yours, he'll let you know that. But give it to him first. Don't make any decisions without giving it to God. And second, this is a really hard thing. We don't like to hear it. It's broken. It's lifted up, offered to God, and it's broken. We don't like to be broken. We don't like to fail. We don't like people to criticize what we do. We don't like to think, I'm not able to do this. But I'm telling you, it's the Christian way. The gifts are offered today on the altar. The wine and the bread, they're lifted up. The bread is broken. Jesus' body was broken on the cross and his blood was spilled. That's the only way for us to be in a good relationship with God. That's the only way it could happen. And Jesus tells us time and time again, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you have to take up your cross and follow me. So if we want to do something for God, whether it's a ministry in the church, even if we just want to be a Christian in the world, how hard is that? It's pretty hard. We're going to get broken. But we have to offer ourselves up in thanksgiving to God and then be willing to break. It's remarkable, this gospel today. It's really, really remarkable, kind of mind-blowing. We often hear it and we think, you know, these people are in the wilderness, they're hungry. There's Jesus. They're not going to go hungry. So, like magic, he makes the 2 loaves and the 5 fish multiply. Well, it's certainly not magic. And he's not feeding them just to show that he can make more of what's there. He's showing us that when you offer something to God, whatever it is, and be willing to be broken, everybody is fed. Everybody's fed and everybody's satisfied. So, beloved in Christ, take this message to heart today. Whatever you have, whatever God's calling you to do, sometimes in parish life, I know, we're afraid to do things. We know things need to be done, but we don't want to take them on because it's too hard. We don't know if we have the gifts. We don't like how people criticize or complain. It's not going to satisfy everybody. That's our fear. But see, we're dealing with our own brokenness there. I'm showing you. And maybe we don't even realize it. You got to give it to God. You got to let yourself be broken, just as our Lord was broken for us and our salvation. And then the third thing that I want to add, we really have to be in unity. You know, those disciples were gathered around Jesus in the wilderness. They were all together hearing his word. They didn't leave him. They were one. St. Paul says in the epistle today that we need to seek unity. We can't be in camps and divisions and clans. It's not about what family we belong to. It's not about what village we come from. It's not about what language we speak or what calendar or what jurisdiction or any other kind of affiliation we can come up with. It's all about being children of God through Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, Why should we conform to anything other than the cross? Why should we identify ourselves first and foremost with anything else other than our baptism, which is our death with Jesus Christ? That's what we're here to do. If we don't do that, nothing else is going to work. We're going to keep being frustrated. We're not going to have people in the church. Nothing's going to get done. And we might throw up our hands and say, oh, I don't know what to do. So I want to encourage you to pray. Offer your lives, offer your ministry, your gifts, whatever you have, to the Lord. Lift it up in thanksgiving and be willing to be broken if necessary. You don't always break, but you have to be willing to be broken, just like the bread. And please be in unity with one another and think with the mind of Christ, who didn't think of himself any greater than anyone else, although he's the Lord of all. He's the maker of all. He's the creator. He's the pantocrator, the ruler of all, like we have in the icon. Yet he humbled himself and lowered himself out of love for you and me and all of us. Glory to him forever. May the Lord bless our church and our parish and the gifts we offer today and the ministry of each and every one of us to the glory of his holy name. Amen.